Welcome to Ball Watching. Justin and Jake here. This is the first of hopefully a couple more recaps, Justin, where we can do these after games because we play so freaking late all the time. But today was on a Sunday at 3:45 p.m. It was an earlier kickoff than we're used to and a win, which we haven't been used to recently. So, Justin, you were there. I was not able to take it in. Obviously, I had some duties back at home, but it looked like a fun fixture to be at. And obviously getting 3 points never hurts.
No, I could not. I really could not promote more. I really wish that we could do more of these games during the day, Saturday, Sunday. I wish the MLS would figure it out. Everybody's having a great time. The amount of families that I saw at the game, too, it's tough to be able to bring kids, and you know it best, Jake, to a 7:30 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday night. I don't care if it's Saturday or Sunday. Let's do some more mid-game stuff. Everybody was having a great time. I had a great time. Shout out Parker Pilsner. Brought one home. It was phenomenal. I really wish we could have scored 2 goals. We'll get into the betting aspect of it, but, hey, we'll take a dub. Take a dub at home for sure.
Yeah, the dub is one of those emotional hedges, I feel like. You know, neither of us were in the green, spoiler alert, for our bets. And many of you all, I'm sure, weren't either, just looking through some of the guesses that we got on our giveaway. But we'll always take 3 points, however you can get them. So I am not going to be too picky heading into this one. But, Justin, you show me the Parker Pilsner, and I do have to give a shout-out because this event was kind of around this as well. But Justin and I were able to participate in an event, a cornhole tournament, that our friends, the City Refs, put on this past Saturday morning. Did not take the ship. We were looking to go a little bit deeper in terms of a run. We were met by some pretty good opposition, not going to lie. So I was not warmed up, did not know some of the stiff competition we'd be up against. But you know what? We showed out. It was a hell of an event. So fun to meet all the different content creators in and around the club. I mean, I would give personal shout outs, but there were so many people and organizations that we were able to talk to finally, you know, like not virtually, which was super cool and fun and all for charity. So shout out to City Refs for doing that whole thing. It was a blast.
Yeah, it was awesome. See, I would say what there was 26 teams, which ended up being great because that's Tim Parker's number. And the amount of different groups that came out, I would say of everybody, the guys that had the most fun. Who would you say, Jake, out of the groups of everybody else? I will not even talk about the score that we had because Jake and I got our butt kicked a couple different times. But it was an absolutely incredible time that we had out over at Four Hands.
I did. I mean, Santos, No Goal Patrol, the Blues Fan Forum guys were crushing people left and right. It was great to meet so many people, St. Louis Stars, River City Ramble. I mean, so much fun. So I can't say better things about it because I really hope this is just one of many to follow. So shout out to City Refs once again. Those guys are incredible. If you guys want to check out content around, you know, the experience that you all have at City Park and in and around the club, City Refs do a great job of just nailing that and spending dedicated time on that. So I would definitely check out their content when you can. They're two awesome dudes. You can't miss them. They're in the supporter section wearing their ref yellow outfits. It's legit.
But Jake, they just moved over to now they have actual I'm trying to think. They have seats now. I think it's section 108 that they're in now.
Yep.
So they're now season ticket holders, which is awesome for them. Their name got finally called their number, but they'll be around in and around the supporters section as well.
Absolutely. Well, Justin, let's crack into it. Where do we start? I think we gotta start starting 11 for this one. It was different than I thought. But you actually had made this shout before we got into the preview last week, or I guess now this past week, where we talked about what would happen at center back with Nilsson back, but not back yet for 90 minutes, at least not Carnell coming out and saying that. So we saw Hebert start there, and man, throwback to last season, seeing Parker and Hebert line up together when we were so successful with them. And I can't help but think there's maybe a little bit of magic that contributed to it. Obviously, we are our Kyle Hebert stands, and I thought he had a really solid game today. Obviously, hoping he's not injured. That would put us in a little bit of a tight spot with their center back depth dwindling. But seeing him get the start, Markanik get the start, I think we both called for Duyer. I don't think Markanik played poorly. I don't see that changing if it's purely based on form, but I think he's got his good graces in with Carnell.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that going back to the center backs real quick, I honestly thought that Hebert played better than Parker. got lucky enough to sit pretty close to the field today, and Hebert throws his body around. He's a guy that, like, if there's a ball in the air, he will go up and get it regardless of however he's going to land. Not worried about that. He gets stuck in. I love the way that Parker plays, but I felt like Hebert actually was playing pretty much to try to get for a starting spot there. I would say as far as Mark Canet goes, I was interested to see that he was staying at left. I really would have appreciated Duggar there. Being closer to the field, I don't know if he's fully healthy or what, but Mark Canet came over for water probably three or four times in the first half, which really threw me off. But honestly, I don't think he really played poorly whatsoever. I would say he played pretty solid there in the left back, and overall, a pretty good showing by the defensive line.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And we moved up same two anchors in the midfield with Durkin and Ostrock. Obviously, we learned that Blum is going to be out for a little bit this past week. So we saw Durkin and Ostrock come back. We saw Alm get another start. We saw Indy get another start, but in the middle as AZ dropped to the bench. We saw Celio get a start on the left. And then the big man Klaus up top. I think that 2-3-1, part of that 4-2-3-1, really solid. I mean, honestly, looking at the entire 11, I don't think anyone played their way out of starting the next game. I think everyone had a fairly decent performance. Now, I will also say, I thought the subs also made a little bit of an impact today as well. And I would like a little more experience to be shown in some of those moments when you're coming on as a sub and you're trying to kill the game off. But again, personnel-wise, I thought the selection was good.
I mean, I thought the starting 11 was fine. I would say, when you say there's no one that played their way out of it, unfortunately, we've been very, very highly talking about Ostrock. I would say that he's probably going to be the guy that takes the bench when Lubin eventually starts, probably likely next game. Ostrock getting that yellow card in the fourth minute, not getting too far ahead of things. I think that was a bold call on his end, and obviously just not smart. You can't have a guy that's playing in front of your back four getting a yellow card in the fourth minute. Then you have to play so much more conservatively, I would say, the rest of the game. And I don't think that was a good call by him. But I would say everybody – but the way that he played the rest of the game, I thought he played pretty offensively and really got in some tackles, but very, very close to being able to get a second yellow. And that would really hurt us, especially at home.
He's got a little bit of a spark to him. You can definitely tell he gets really – he's definitely an emotional player, which I think is – could be your detriment sometimes, but also could be your best friend. Other times, I think when he's on form, when he's confident, you can see it flow through him. I mean, I think he basically, him and Durkin caused our goal four, in my opinion. When we go back and replay it here in Goal Vision, I'll show you why. But I liked his performance a lot. And I do think Lubin is definitely above him on the depth chart. I don't think Lubin starts next game. If he's not even going to make the bench this game, there's no way to me that he's starting the next game. But back to that Lubin point really quick. They spoke on him. It sounds like Carnell said sometimes his drive doing the pitch can put him in harm's way. If he really had to, he could have played, but he wanted to be careful. So the fact that he even put him on the bench, I thought, for me, by the way, that is not shocking. I know they said he was available in training this week, but like, dude was gone for three or four weeks between injury and personal reasons. So I just highly doubt that he's match/90 minutes fit yet. But I do think, Justin, I would love to see Lubin and Ostrock be able to coexist in a lineup. And I think that would actually take Ostrock up the pitch and into the 10, maybe instead of an Indy or an AZ.
No, it absolutely would. Cause I think if you're going to have Lubin starting and you're going to play Ostrock as well, Durkin is a mainstay now. I think Durkin has owned that spot. So you're going to do a Lubin with a Durkin in front of the back four. So then you're looking at the guy who's going to play the top of that triangle. Because I think right now we're already owning it by Celio on the left with Indy on the right. So it's like, who's going to play underneath of Klaus? And that could be Ostrock. I've been going back and forth, unfortunately, with the whole AZ thing. I still think that he played well. We'll get into it later in the game. Coming off the bench, being that spark plug, I don't think that's AZ's position to be right below the striker. I think we need someone that's a little bit stronger there to hold the ball up. And unfortunately, he doesn't play as well as he should with having his back to the goal. So I would say I don't think that AZ should be that starting 90 there. And maybe it is Ostrock that ultimately takes it when you think about when you're going to have a Durkin and a Lubin in front of the back four.
And final thing before we get out of the 11 into the game, Big Sam. Big Sam was a big hole in the lineup today and also a hole in the team sheet overall. Did not make the bench even. And the reasoning we were given was coach's decision. We do not have any leading insight here. This is all that Carnell had to say after the post conference, after the post game press conference. He said the focus for me today was on the players that were here on the roster and empty their tank for us. I don't want to read too far into this, Justin, but is Sam not here right now? Is Sam not on the roster? Yeah, he wasn't on the game day roster. I'm really perplexed on this because you normally speculate, oh, well, he's probably being dealt and they're working on negotiations for a transfer, and you never play that player when that's going on just out of concern for health and you don't want to tamper with anything. But most every window in most every single country is closed right now for transfers, unless he's being transferred domestically, which I don't think would ever happen, nor would he want that to happen right now. I think he wants to go to Europe. I'm confused here. I think if he's going to go, it'll be in the summer when he can kind of have his pick. Most everyone in Europe is on break and they're doing the negotiations. They're doing their team building. It feels a little bit weird to me because it just kind of went, it was cold out of nowhere. He's just not here.
I was very confused. Yeah, I texted you that. I mean, I was obviously at the game and you were at home and I was like, wait, Sam's not even on the bench. What's going on here? And you're like, I mean, it was coach's decision. I don't really understand like what that means. I think a lot will be coming out in the next week or so of like what that is. I really don't think that it's a transfer window thing because like you said, everything's closed. I don't know if it was a, I would really hope that it's not one of those things where it's like, broke rules or something like that. Yeah. Like that doesn't seem like it's a Sam thing to do anyways. But like it's like a healthy scratch. We think about the Blues. We're talking about trying to integrate this and trying to make it more just St. Louis sports center like oriented. I really don't think he was like a healthy scratch. I don't think it was anything along those lines. Like he is healthy enough and one of those guys that we're going to need on the bench if we can't score, which we have not been able to. And I'm a little concerned as to why he wasn't even included in the 18.
Because I think it, for everyone that anyone that missed it, he did get an offer from a team in the Scandinavian countries a couple weeks ago. I want to say maybe from Denmark. I'm forgetting maybe Molde was the club, but Molde. He got an offer. Be rejected out of hand, and their window has since closed, so they're not able to do this anymore. So it's not like that team came back in for him for this window. So I think Sam would have run wild on Austin today had you subbed him in, you know, at the 30th minute or 20 minutes left, and just had him run ragged because I don't think Austin was much defensively, in my opinion, today. But look, Justin, we've already done a lot. Let's get into some of the games, some of the highlights that kind of piqued our interest. You already talked about Ostrock. Caught my eye as well. Unacceptable early yellow. You got to play a totally different game the rest of the game. But I thought he did well with what he had to after that. In the 13th minute, I had a highlight here for Jerkin, who drew a free kick. And Endy fired it just over the wall, like a great shot. But Stuver, pretty comfortable save in the end. But at least you're forcing him into some action. I saw a Jerkin really dumb yellow card too, in my opinion, in the 36th minute. He just kind of the ball was played in front of him and it was well away and he kept kind of running and ran straight into the guy that had just played the pass, didn't pull up in enough time, and so he makes good contact and draws a yellow. I mean, just needless in my opinion. And again, now both your two guys that are sitting in front of them and protecting the back four are sitting on yellows that were useless for us. Useless.
That's what I'm saying, is that the guy that Jerkin ended up getting a yellow on, he dropped back. It was one of those situations where, like, Klaus gets frustrated. He doesn't get the ball. This was a midfielder that dropped literally probably 15, 20 yards all the way back to, I will say, almost even with their back line. I'm rewatching it right now. And he just follows through on this guy. And literally, it was literally just to bounce the ball up to the other center back. It's just an extremely dumb and careless foul. And then, like, Jerkin, I understand that you're a little frustrated, but that's not the time to take your yellow. Because now you are also on a yellow 36 minutes in, and now we have to be careful with you for the next 60 plus, I would say, because obviously then we had a 10 minute on the end of the second half. I think I thought it was extremely careless and a dumb mistake by him. Like, because like you said, Jake, now we have both of our guys that are supposed to be protecting our back line in front of the back four, the two guys, both on yellows. And now they had to be very careful, otherwise we're going to be a man down.
And we had some half chances here and there in the first half, but the first half is not the one to talk about. If you watch this game, it was a total, I think, of 0.3 XG generated between both teams. We had four shots, one on target. They had one shot, and their one shot was in the extra time of heading into half in the 45+1, where we failed to clear an early sent-in cross from them. It falls to Driussi, of course, their most dangerous player. But Markanić does enough to block it and send that out of play. That was their first of two shots. I didn't say shots on goal either. I said shots. Remember, we had 27 last game. Austin had two today. So getting into the second half, Justin, an early low light for me was their second and final shot, where we were on a corner kick, you know, defense scenario, and they sent the ball, really good set piece, I would say, into the near post, where we weren't, I don't think, tight enough on whoever flicked it, but they got a near post flick to the back post where Driussi just kind of mistimed his shot attempt and scuffed it out for a goal kick. Set piece defending, important in whatever team you're playing against. You cannot give up those types of goals. Imagine had that gone in, and a guy like Driussi would be the guy to do it. So not great defending on that set piece, but again, that was their final shot, and that was their only second shot on the night. So that was it in terms of the offensive highlights for Austin heading into some of our highlights.
I would say I'm going to jump straight to it, Jake. I know we have two highlights in between there, but the way that we were sitting in the seats that we were in, the ball that was played across the field to Totland's feet, was it just absolute dime? I'm trying to look to see who played it. I think it was Ostrock. Just a nice little clean, had a little nice little backspin, probably 8 feet in the air, onto Totland's feet, takes the defender on wide open. I honestly, Jake, kept telling him, I'm like, dude, play it to Alm. It felt like it was a little late for him to give to Alm. He gave it as he was almost sliding because the defender was closing on him. Alm does a one-timer right back across to Klaus. Klaus does a good job to almost do like a little bit of a cutback. I'm not going to lie, Jake, I don't know if he meant to finish it far post. It looks like it almost goes off the back of his heel. I wouldn't be surprised if he was going back into the near post as you pull up the visualization here. But I'll take the goal. It's the first time that Klaus has had a goal through the run of play since September of last year, September 30th of last season.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, finally. And yeah, finally. What a collective breath of fresh air that we need to all collectively do, because the big man's back. Getting him to score an open play is huge for him. It's huge for his confidence. It's huge for us to get 3 points. But this goal was really – that was just the culmination of a lot of positive things for me. So what I wasn't able to capture, because the clip didn't have more background, is that this all started on a goalkeeper – I think long ball, punt, whatever. Tim Parker steps up, wins it. Second ball is won by Austin, but we get the knockdown. And Durkin loses it and then goes to win it. And instead of just clearing up the field because it's going towards the sideline, he actually hangs on to it, waits, has a couple of Austin defenders start to counter-press him. And he finds Markanić, who then finds Ostrock, who plays this peach of a ball right over their press, and they have most of their players now. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, one out of frame, 5, 6, 7, basically all on the other side of the field. And now Totland has, I don't know, maybe 60 yards of space. And you can, and just a quick lesson here for anyone watching this visually, by the way, we are in goal vision right now. For anyone not watching, we are carrying the ball. Totland has this decision to make. He's got Alm. I don't even, would you call this an overlap? I guess it's technically an overlap. He's got him on his right shoulder making that run into space. But I think the more that Totland runs with the ball, the more that center back is going to have to step up and pressure him and let Alm potentially scoot in behind. So Totland does a great job carrying. I think times this pass well, and you can see how much space Alm has to run onto this. Doesn't even need to touch. Plays it one time across. Klaus says, screw it. I'm not going back post this time. I'm not going for the header. I'm going to check to this ball. And he gives a little side foot tap flick into the far post. Watching it, Justin, do you think that's exactly what he had in mind? I don't give a crap. But, a great team goal, a really great team goal.
That's what I'm saying right there. I think Klaus meant to go, at least on his shot, meant to go to the near post.
I think he misses it, goes off the back of his heel and dribbles into the back post. I'll take it. I don't care. That's one of those goals that goes through for the big man. I think for sure he's trying to go near post, but yeah, if he would have, as you have it paused right here, probably would have been blocked by the by the center back or saved by Stuber. I'm glad. It's a great finish. I thought, and as I'm rewatching it, I will say, I thought Totland gave it a little late to Alm. It's either at where the point where he was, he either needed to rip a shot or give it. So I thought he did well to actually dribble it up and hang on to it for that long.
Yeah, and I like this goal for so many reasons. One, for Klaus to score it. Two, for Alm to be the assister. Three, for Durkin and Ostrock to get the credit they deserve to build this out. Totland to be the right back that we bought him to be, streaking up the field and wreaking havoc, which he did a lot of today. So I give him flowers for that. This just had so many positive things behind it. And it all started on a long ball, which we were victim to, I think, last week or the week prior, where we couldn't win it and we could win the second ball. There's just so many things about this that scream to me that this team has acknowledged their shortcomings and they're working on getting better. And I don't care where he meant that ball to go, but that went tucked into the far post for Klaus. Cannot be more happy for him. After the game, as we exit Goal Vision here, for anyone that didn't catch that, go and check it out. It's gives you a whole different kind of visual and flavor for how that goal got scored. Klaus dedicated it to his wife, saying she's the reason he's still playing. Oh, and to his parents and Edu, who we assume obviously to be Edu Leuven. And he said obviously to the fans as well. They're here for us through good and bad, always with us. This win is for them too. So much love going all around. I love to hear it.
It's one of those things, Jake, that was needed not only for him, but for us. I mean, I was rooting so hard for us to have a second goal in that game. But, God, if we didn't score and we had another tie, especially a 0-0 tie at home against a team that we had a total of 18 goals between us in the first three games, I would have absolutely lost it. So, thank you. Thank you, Joao Klaus. We are very happy that your mother is not crying, that you have now scored another goal, because I –
Yes. Yeah. No longer are we crying. And yes, Sean, we do need a sponsor for Goal Vision. Maybe LASIK, maybe Clarkson Eye Care, you know, any of the local brands. But we love doing Goal Vision. And for anyone, again, that hasn't been on YouTube to check us out visually, I'm telling you, go look at it. It's fun to do that analysis and have us kind of voice over what we're seeing on the screen. But let's get out of that goal and into the rest of the second half. Honestly, Justin, I kind of had a little bit of a lull in terms of what I was watching following that goal. I don't think we necessarily just poured it on. One thing I do want to call out before we get into some of the end of the game was Endy. Once he got pulled off at the 60th. AZ and Thorsen came on for Endy and Alm. And Endy, you just love this guy. He, first of all, rocking the full handlebar mustache. Like, it's nobody's job. And he is playing water boy / motivator / dap up guy for the injury that Hebert had, where they were treating him on the field. Indy is on the sideline just barking at all the players, like getting them motivated, feeding them water. Like, I love to see. He feels like the biggest team guy that we have.
We were talking about that because Lumen and I were sitting right there by the guys. I'm a little confused on what the rules are and, like, how much Indy can do. He's definitely pressing the lines because – he was up there barking against the fourth official as well, or the fifth official, for all of these things. I'm like, is he allowed to do this? I mean, that embodies the impersonality of this guy. When you think about him and Celio, like, I think for sure they're locker room guys, but their personality shows regardless of where they are. They're on the bench or on the field, regardless, they are showing out every time. And Indy, that handlebar mustache, I'm not going to give my formal take on that. I'm gonna leave that one aside, but I love his personality.
It's just the chutzpah it takes to do that. He's got to be one of the.
What is a chutzpah?
Oh, look it up, Justin. You gotta learn a little bit about that.
Yes, I will.
You the fact that he's rocking it. Have you ever seen that in professional sports? Like, I have not.
I don't even know what to. How do I even Google chutzpah?
No, not chutzpah.
Very bad at words. What does that even mean?
It's like courage or balls. I was trying to avoid saying balls, but Yeah.
While watching, yeah, you can't say balls on our own podcast, Jake.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't want to double tap on it. But oh, actually, speaking of double tap, we have a lot of freaking people here right now in the room watching us live. Show us some love. Throw us a little like, throw us a little love tap on that like button or on the favorite button, whatever it looks like. Just give it a little smash for us. Show us some love after a little dub, a little 3 points in the bag, and leave us a comment if you're enjoying what you're hearing or if you have any feedback on it. Would love to hear from you all. Even if you're not live, we still love you. And you can show us some love as well. So give us a rating and review on your podcast domain or on YouTube, whatever you please. Justin, in the 87th minute, we had a break. We were running through, I believe Sealy was on the ball, and he plays an AZ on the overlap. AZ shot right at Stuver. That happened again later on in the dying minutes of the game. It's a... Two things to say on AZ, and I might get ahead of myself in one of the things, and I think you'll probably double down on it as well. Two things. One thing, got to get the shots, one, with more pace, two, away from right at the goalkeeper. It happens way too often, and I thought, you know, just maybe he's trying to get better at it. It happens way too frequently. And two, towards the end of the game, I kind of question us going for the lethal blow. At least me personally, I'd rather kill the game with possession and in the corners of their defensive third than have us try to get that second. That's my opinion.
So I'll go back and forth. I'm going to, one, take a step back and go back to the AZ thing. That shot was awful. I was not happy with that. I turned to Mr. Heffernan to my right, and I was like, AZ needs to figure out how to shoot the ball, because right now, I mean, he is so dirty and his breakaway speed is so good on spots where, like, he needs to be able to collect it, do a quick move and shoot it and pass it out to the wide guys. But when he's that good to be able to beat a guy, you got to finish. And that shot that was right at Stuber, Jake, I'm not kidding. It was I would say the pace of your left foot and just put it right at Stuber. No offense to you, Jake, but you haven't played soccer competitively in years. And I would say that's what the pace was. Whoa. Was on the ball and right at Stuber's feet. What?
Friendly fire here. Okay.
It was bad. If you saw it live, it looked like a nice stern pass to Stuber, and Stuber's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, and it happened twice, and that wasn't even our best chance. Our best chance came in the 89th minute for the second, when Thor, who actually I thought had his best cameo of the season thus far, in just terms of danger, like, I'm kind of down now to see him tried on the wing. For this 4-2-3-1 we're doing right now, think he'd be great. I think he would be great on one of those sides, but I'm not pulling Celio for him right now, and I think he'd be on the left. So my thing about Thor, drives with a great progressive carry, slips a great through ball into Kojima, who's making a great run in behind from out to in, and Kojima has a great first touch on it. It's a little bit out ahead of him, but he gets a good first touch, and Stuver does enough to close down the angle and make it tough on Kojima, who pokes it wide. Really tight angle, hard opportunity, especially for a young guy, but got to have more. Got to at least force Stuver to save it.
Yeah, I agree. He tried to do a little toe poke there, and Stuver got huge. If you see it, it was like a diving save by him. But you got to make him save the ball, and you didn't. He made him miss it wide. I would have loved a little, like, almost like a little chip to go over Stuver in that sense, because Stuver's getting very low. Right before that, though, Jake, I will say, I appreciate Thor coming on. I agree. I thought his cameo today was one of the most lethal that he could have had, and I thought that he was very offensive in what he was doing. The only problem is, Jake, everybody knows that he's only a lefty.
Yeah,
when he cuts in on the right, he's on, and we put him in on the left side. When he cuts into his right foot, they leave him, and he tried to send a right footed curler. And I mean, it was a respectful shot, but it wasn't that close to the post. I almost think that if we're going to bring Thor on, he needs to come onto the right side, and he needs to be for Indy. You can't be replacing him with Celio, because the way that he cuts in, when he cuts in on his right, there's just nothing there. It's like almost having a shot from AZ from a guy that's coming in. And I think Thor has a lot more potential, but he needs to be coming in on the right-hand side to be able to cut in on his left.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I get that concern, absolutely, and I see it too. The final things I wanted to mention on this game were Klaus coming up to standing ovation. Great to see for him. Again, great for his confidence. Kudos to the fans for treating him like that. 90 plus five. I love to see Durkin still sprinting his tail off, closing down players. He had that little coming together with Drew. See, they looked at briefly. No harm, no foul there. Thorson had a great counter in the 90 plus seven. After we had after we cleared a free kick, he slipped in AZ, who just couldn't hold the run for just a half second longer. Again, AZ, we're looking for you to play. I'm not even going to say better. Play bigger than your age suggests. And I think that's just taking a step back sometimes. I know you've called him the human fidget spinner at times, Justin. He's got to do a little bit more to clear himself of that. Because to me, he shows it. He looks way too eager sometimes, when that's still going to be a great opportunity. If you just give yourself a half second, stay with the line, look across it, you're still going to get a great opportunity. It may not be as great as the one that he got because he was offsides. But on those moments, whether you're killing the game, going for the lethal blow, you cannot get ruled off for offsides. It's just not acceptable.
No, I thought that was when I talk about AZ's shots. I mean, that was a great finish with his left coming down left hand side. That one hurt me the most, Jake. The amount of different bets that I had for us to score two goals, either parlayed with the Masters or just straight up. That one really hurt. Me and Lumen were jumping up and down, and then we looked and it's like, of course, he's offsides all the way down on the far end. That one hurt. That one hurt a lot.
Yeah, it did. And he was close again, Justin, the 90 plus nine, as we drew towards the end of the game. We made the most of a short corner kick, and he found a shot again right at Stuver. Justin, the over 1.5 just wasn't meant to hit tonight, but the 3 points were. We did get the W. We got Klaus on the board. I'll take a lot of positives away. Look at this game from Austin. It's pretty rough, guys. I mean, all they really won was possession, and possession doesn't do anything for anyone, as we can tell you firsthand. So we had 38% to their 62, but they generated 0.11 XG on two shots, neither of them on target. So was it our most dominant victory or our best game we played? Hell no. But it was well more than enough to get the victory, and a deserved one at that. And I don't think we've been able to say that for a lot of these games this season. So I'm happy with the performance. I think it's enough to get the business done, get 3 points, roll over to the S-Words this weekend and give them the business. But Justin, any player performances stick out to you as we look at the team?
You already have it here. And we're talking about the player of the game and or the heart and soul juice of player of the game. Go to souljuice.com, 20% off using code BALLWATCHING. Go to Costco, Schnucks, Sam's, anywhere around that you get your groceries. In St. Louis, we don't have it in a Costco yet. Go to your Costco manager and be like, I'm looking for some soul juice. We are actually working very closely with them, trying to get a chance to be able to get them into the Costco's here. They have them out in the West Coast. Go and ask them for it. But my heart and soul juice player of the game, Jake, and I'll let you do the stats. I mean, it's got to be Joao Klaus. I am so excited. I am so happy and excited that man has actually been able to put a goal in through the run of play. I'm not going to change it. I know that we're both probably going to have the same player of the game, but yeah. There was a lot of guys that played well in this game, but that's the guy that we need going forward, especially with who knows what's going on with the Sam stuff. Let's lock in Joao Klaus for the heart and soul juice player of the game.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, you got to call what it is sometimes, and he's unanimous for me. He is my heart and soul of the team as well for tonight's match. One goal, like you said, two passes into the final third. One thing people probably didn't recognize as much was his defensive actions. He had five of those tonight. He won two tackles, had two clearances. You probably noticed one of them where he was definitely tracking back super deep into our own territory and made a good tackle. And that's not where he should be, nor do I expect him to be there. But the fact that I can see that, I feel like last year, if you want to have a knock against him for the time that he was available, besides if you want to knock him on the history for his injury, that's fine. But I'm going to knock him on his off-ball work, his overall work rate, I don't think was there for me. This year, I feel like he's taken a step forward in that. And by the way, take last week and this week together for just performances. Yeah, he got the goal this week, didn't get it last week. Two great performances. And if you can keep piling these up, I feel like he's in form right now. Now that he's in goal-scoring form, I'm even more excited because he's looking every bit as dangerous, maybe even and more, as we saw in the early part of last year.
Absolutely. And the one that you're talking about, Jake, that he was tracking back, he tracked all the way back into the what would be the right corner If you're facing our goal, he won the, he literally read it like a book, worked around Markkanen, won the ball. And then the Austin guy went down, Klaus threw his arm up. Like, this is absolute BS. Like, I won that ball clean. The crowd got amped. Everybody was on their feet. The fact that he tracked back that far was awesome to see. And you already mentioned it. We're going to be facing the S words coming up. Pretty cool game that they just had over at Arrowhead Stadium. They ended up losing 3-2 to Miami versus Messi and friends. But I think it was the fourth most attended game in the MLS history of like 76,000 people.
Yeah. No, super cool. Super cool. I was bummed to watch this one from home. Speaking of home, official home services partner of both the club and of ball watching are the Hoffman Brothers, our favorite home services partner, heating, cooling, appliances, ductwork, whatever you have in your home services needs, they do it, and they do it phenomenally. So make sure if you have any services that you are in need of as we head into the summer and out of spring, it's I was out there walking today before this game, getting some steps in. I'm starting to get the sweats. So that's when you know the temperatures are changing. We are very, very close to this 125 humidity coming up here shortly. So give our friends Hoffman Brothers a call if you're feeling the same at 314-664-3011 or visit them online at Hoffman Bros, HOFFMANN Bros.com. Justin, how was the pitch? I know you were there watching some of the Masters beforehand. I'm sure it was amped up with all the anticipation in that and also heading into this game.
The pitch was absolutely bumping. And then I swung by there afterwards and saw Allie and team after. It was just as packed. I don't know, Jake. I don't know how what we need to do. Could we sign a petition? I want more day games.
Yeah.
The fact that, the vibe at the pitch before and after and the vibe at the stadium during, we need more day games in St. Louis. I would love to do. I don't understand, why it's always a 7:30 p.m. and, people aren't allowed. At that point, when you have children, yeah, it's hard to bring people that late to the game. Get to the pitch before if you have a 7:30 p.m. game. Get there and celebrate. If you have a day game like we had today, get there early, watch the Masters with me, go to the game, and come back after. The sun is still up. The pitch is absolutely rocking. And I'm going to double down, Jake, on what you said about the Hoffman Bros. Do you know that our high is going to be, again, 65 on Friday? It was 89 today, and we're going to drop again down to 65 and be in the mid-60s next weekend.
Oh.
Do not wait for your AC or your heating to go out. Get ahead of time. Get it checked. I know nothing about any of this. I called Hoffman Brothers every time.
Justin, we've got a couple questions here, and then we'll skip. We already talked about our bets. Both of us were in the red. I had both teams and over 2.5 parlay. That didn't hit. And then you had money line and team total over 1.5. Unfortunately, that didn't hit. I also sprinkled in the money line just to have it. So I did obviously get to have that, of course. But we both predicted 3-1 and 2-1 respectively. Again, don't care at all. I'll take 3 points and the dub whenever we can. But Justin, let's comb for any questions. I've got a couple here, and I'll look at Instagram, but on YouTube, we got a comment in here from looking for it now. From Leonard, anyone know where Big Sam was? I think we talked about that. Still unknown on Big Sam, just coach's decision. Sounds like Carnell was not one to take many questions related to it after via the post-game press conference. So we'll see how that situation unfolds. Duck on YouTube said, I really liked what I saw from Kojima. Maybe play him over AZ. I liked what I saw from Kojima as well. I think he looked lively, looked full of energy. I loved his press and his engine. I don't know if, by the way, I don't even think AZ's starting any point soon right now. So I don't think, if you're saying play him for AZ, I don't think AZ's going to start. So I would put him, for me, he's kind of a probably second guy off the bench for central midfielders. If you need some fresh legs, given now that we'll have Leuven back, you'll probably see Ostrak or, Blum, Ostrak, Leuven, Indy, all those. It's a bummer because all those guys play a version central midfield, but Kojima's flexible. We know that he can do a lot more, so maybe you could see him fill in at fullback. Who knows? But there's plenty of thought there, and I think Kojima does factor into the long-term plans. Justin, got a question here from Brooks. I want you to take this one. I already gave my bet. Was it cool of AZ to take it to goal at 90+8, or maybe a little selfish?
So, Jake, I would say for the team and the season, we got to just hold that in the corner and try to work the ball out. But with me having multiple bets on over 1.5 goals, I was pumped. Take that goal every time, AZ. I was jacked. When I saw him beat that guy, I'm like, yeah, rip one. Absolutely. Yeah. But if you're trying to play smart soccer, no, that was a dumb play. Unfortunately, I did not. I don't think that was good for the team. So I don't think that was good overall. I will take this one real quick, Jake. Angel Rodriguez asking, what's the rule in throw-ins? I was talking to this about Mr. Heffernan as well. He said, I swear I saw twice an Austin player had a foot on the field and threw the ball in. So Jake and I was unaware of this as well, because when I was growing up, like, I thought if you had a toe over the line onto the field, it was a foul throw. No, as long as you have even a heel on the paint, you're allowed to have that as a throw-in. So you'll see that a lot in MLS now, that as long as a part of their foot is still on the paint of the sideline, it is a fair throw-in. So that is one that I was very confused by, but that is something that you will see a lot in MLS.
Yeah, it's gotten more egregious, and they definitely taught it differently when we were growing up. I was even taught, like, to be behind the line entirely. Like, don't even touch the line. But right. Now that you look at these throw-ins, and these guys have like a centimeter of the back heel of their cleat just touching that last blade of grass with white paint on it, and it's a fair throw-in. But yes, I do expect to see more of that, because again, they've gotten pretty crazy.
Also, shout out JB Goodbody. This guy rocks. Yes. We met him again at the City Refs tournament that we did on Saturday for bags or cornhole, as he put it. JB Goodbody is a hell of a dude and a great personality. If you guys see him out of the games, go say hi. He rocks.
He does. He does. Thank you all again for tuning in, for all the questions. I'm just kind of perusing back through on Instagram to see if we missed anything else. But overall, man, I'm stoked for this win. I think we all should sleep very well tonight, given the result. It may not be all about the performance in this. I think sometimes you got to just grind it out, and may not be your best day. But 3 points, we'll take it, and we'll pack it in our trunk as we head west on I-70 towards Kansas for what looks to be another installment of three for the Derby this year against the S Word. So, I'm stoked. It's always fun to be in the week lead up to a game against our bitter rivals. Now it's really official. Like last year at this time, it was like, oh, they're going to be our rivals. It's Kansas City and St. Louis. But now I feel like we have something legit between us, and we've definitely got a chip on our shoulder considering how the playoffs went.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is one that we don't even need to talk about anymore. And the fact that, like, I agree with you. It was like, oh, they're our next closest. Like, it's us in Chicago and Kansas City. No. The fact that they knocked us out of the playoffs, it's real. And I'm very excited for it. And I think we can go and take it to these guys.
Yep, I agree. And they're sitting right now one spot below us in the Western Conference in live standings. We're sitting 11 points. Sporting is at 10. By the way, for all of you naysayers and you doomsdayers out there, yeah, not everyone's in the same level of games played right now. We're 4 points off top of the Western Conference. Like, everyone that's like, oh my God, like, throw it all away. Let's fire everyone. Guys, you scrounge out one of those games as a win that we had as a tie early on this season, and we're knocking on the door for LA Galaxy right now. And I'm not saying that's how it's going to be the rest of the season, but let's encounter these issues now and not later.
I mean, that's what if you saw Tim Parker, I think it was earlier this week, said, like, when you start to realize that as you become a veteran of this league, getting points is getting points. Like, I understand that we've definitely dropped a couple, but, like, the fact that we have not turned those into L's shows where we are in the standings. We could easily have been another 3 points out, and the fact that we would have lost three of those ties, which we probably should have when you look at the amount of times that we are winning those games versus losing or tied, we're fine. Everybody take a deep breath. We didn't come out of the weekend that we talked about, Jake, where we were trying to get a clean 6 points. I'll take 4 points out of those two games.
Yep. Hindsight's 2020. I'll take it now. The winning feeling feels good, and it's a good vibe to carry into this weekend. So I'm hoping that it means something to the boys heading into this week. So for you all, we'll be back sometime this week, probably on Wednesday, with a primer for the first installment of our Derby against the S Words out west in Kansas for this one. Couldn't be more excited for it. Couldn't be more excited to have 3 points and to be sitting a little bit more comfortably finally at this point in the season. So thank you all for tuning in to Ball Watching. This is Jake and Justin. We're signing off. Everyone have a great week until we hear from you. And all for City.
All for City.